Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. WordPress powers 27% of sites on the web, more than any other platform. Now it's easy to get started with 27% off a premium or business plan at WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter promo code AAA to receive a free Tracker Bravo with any purchase. And by Hover, finding the perfect domain name is incredibly easy with Hover. Go to hover.com and use the promo code AAA at checkout to save 10% off your first purchase. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 301, the morning after, recorded on Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. We're your weekly source of the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
The morning after the monumental 300.
Yes, now it's known as the 301 hangover. Yeah. That's what I call it.
So, now we start it over again. We've got 99 more episodes before we get to an even 100.
Well, we can pause and celebrate a 350. I think the 50s are worth celebrating, but you only hit 300 once, so that was a way to do it. So
there's no going back unless we start a new trend of negative episodes.
No, we don't want to do that. But okay. 300 was so intense that it Florence couldn't even show up. It was just too much for
she
her.
She was exhausted.
She needed a break. Luckily, we have one of our favorite guests to fill in while she's gone, right?
That's right. Russell Ivanovich. Of course, relay.fm/material for the material show. And then Pocket Cast, this app that I now use on Android and iOS.
iOS? What happened in that 300th episode? Sounds insane.
Exactly.
Turn into an iOS user.
You have no idea.
Should I even be on the show?
No idea, Russ.
Disgusting, Jason.
I know. I'm getting a lot of that on Twitter, actually, of like anytime I like praise Apple or iOS or anything for whatever reason, people are like, you're not coming back, are you? You're lost, aren't you?
You good traitor.
What's the end date on this experiment? Was it a month or what was it?
Well, let's see here. Let's check our schedule here. It's a month. So basically, okay. The 5th of October is the last day. That's where we do the handoff. That's a Monday. We do the final handoff on Tech News Today. Earlier that day, I am on iOS Today with Megan to talk about the experience and Leo. And then that following Tuesday, the 6th of February, Megan is on All About Android with us to talk about her experience on Android. I know that's going to be an interesting show.
That's going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
I dig it. Excellent. Yeah.
So anyway, but I mean, Russell, I mean, you and your team developed for both platforms. So, I mean, I have to imagine you're very familiar with both. So it's kind of like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, we use both. So whatever. So what?
Yeah. In fact, most days I carry both. I got the Pixel. I got the iPhone 7. Most days both are in my pocket. So, yeah, as much as I like to play up the whole iOS versus Android thing, I don't really care.
Yeah. I was going to say, between the iPhone and the Pixel, which one do you like better?
Oh, personally, the Pixel. It's right here. With a little,
there it is.
Whoop. Yeah, there's just a few things about Android that I prefer to iOS. Like even down to the small things, like being able to double click the power button to get to the camera. I know in iOS you can swipe up from the lock screen or whatever, but it's not the same. There's just so many little things like that.
I miss the double tap power button. I actually use that all the time on Android. Someday I'll be back. Someday I'll be back to double tap the power button.
No, you won't, Jason. You traitor.
Well, I mean, I will say one of the surprising things that I did not expect is how much I've enjoyed the Apple Watch. Just go ahead and throw that out there. I did not expect
that. I didn't expect that either.
It's nice hardware. I got to say, like having used a lot of Android Wear devices and then using the Apple Watch, they're just, people are going to hate me for saying it, but they're playing on different playing fields. It's just the hardware design is really top notch on the Apple Watch. Right. Is it necessary?
Yeah,
no, it's no less or no more necessary than wearables on any platform, though.
I'm probably not the first person to point this out, Jason, but AAA, so All About Android, also works for All About Apple. You don't even have to rename the show.
Great idea.
Let's not put any ideas in his head here. Come on.
Wait a minute. Okay, stop. Full stop. When did this happen? When did that happen? Okay, I did not do that. And I actually honestly have no idea who did it. So someone did it while I was busy reading something, or I don't know what happened.
I didn't see it happen.
Dun, dun. Go away.
What's the OG? The OG iPhone in box. Oh, it's gone now.
Yeah, get rid of that. Whoa. Send it back to where it belongs.
I hope there was no phone in there. No, you know what? I hope there was a phone in there. Yeah. Great to have you back, Russell. Thanks for coming on today and spending your lunchtime with us. Really appreciate it.
No worries at all, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to be discussing more bad news for Samsung. The hits just keep on coming, don't they? Andy Rubin's new phone venture. That's right. The godfather of Android has a new phone thing in the works. HTC U Ultra and Play. Security, little bits of security, but we've got a whole lot to talk about on today's episode of All About Android, starting with the news.
Jason may be a traitor, but don't worry, we're still bringing you the same Android news.
I am not a traitor.
You see, that's what I like about Android News is that it even tells the tough stories with an honest point of view. You can always trust the Android News announcer.
Jeez. It just cuts to the core.
In this uncertain world, there's one thing we can count on.
Android News, you trust.
Cuts to the core. It hurts. I will say I'm really missing Android. I'll just go ahead and, you know.
Sure, keep saying it.
Yep. I am.
We might believe it.
iOS is just kind of, in comparison, iOS is just kind of boring. Yeah. It's like plain milk and Android is chocolate milk.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Oh, I like that.
Samsung is in trouble again, and this time it has nothing to do with the Note 7, so I guess that's a plus. Lee Jae-yong, the vice chairman of Samsung Group, who stepped in as head of the company when his father had a heart attack in 2014, is being pursued for corruption charges, including charges of bribery, embezzlement, and perjury, all related to a South Korean corruption scandal that involved impeachment hearings for President Park Geun-hye. Probably mispronouncing that. Accusations include bribing the president to pay a connected nonprofit in exchange for approval of a Samsung merger in 2015. This is perhaps less an Android story and more about a major player in the world of Android coming under the microscope in a pretty major way. But yeah, and especially in really bad timing, because as definitely anyone who listens to this show knows, this has not been Samsung's year. It started out pretty great, but it just continues to go south. What do you guys make of this? What do you think? It's a hard one to tackle because
I heard it on the news. We were listening to the news one morning and I heard Samsung and, you know, arrest warrant, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, because I'm looking for the Android connection.
Yeah.
But I realized that this is much larger than what we're talking about here. This is some major, major stuff, which is crazy.
Maybe what relates to this show and Android in general is how a major player like Samsung, a company who has for years, at least in the Android world, been at the top of the heap, suddenly is having the carpet kind of pulled out from under it. Russell, do you think this, in connection with, you know, with the Note 7 scandal, all that kind of stuff, do you think this has the potential of upending Samsung as a major player, or will it just kind of be business as usual, really doesn't matter?
Look, I got to say, Jason, who among us has not given 43 billion won to president to influence a merger? I mean, it's really common sort of stuff.
Okay, no, all right, fair enough.
In all seriousness, I thought the Note 7 debacle would affect Samsung far worse than it has. Like, they still seem to be selling S7s at a great clip. They still seem to be doing fine. The public perception is out there. I think it's really common that, you know, their Note phones catch on fire. But it doesn't seem to be hurting them. And if that doesn't hurt them, I can't, even if, you know, the trial ends up going ahead, and even if this guy does end up in jail, I think for Samsung, it'll just be business as usual. I can't see too many, you know, consumers sitting back and going, oh, you know, there's some impeachment going on that I've never heard of. Like, I'm never buying a Samsung phone again. Like, yeah. If you live in South Korea, this is huge news. But outside of there, I don't know. I reckon it won't affect them that badly.
Yeah, and I think that's the angle. I mean, like, imagine if one of, if Tim Cook was brought up on charges, or if Sundar was brought up on, it would be huge news here, right? The guy at Microsoft, Satyamania, was arrested, right? We'd all be going crazy. But for us here, because the geography is so, we're not really impacted by how big Samsung is for South Korea's entire economy. Like, there, one company is a huge aspect of it. And so it's got to be like major front page news for them. But for us, it's like, oh, just some little footnote. And people are still more hung up on the notes blowing up. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was out with some people who were completely not tech people, like completely normals, not our world at all. And the conversation turned to cell phones, and one guy was complaining because he needed a new cell phone, but the only one that he could get for free from Best Buy was an iPhone, and he hates the iPhone. He misses being on Android, and he's showing me all the things that he can't do. And I'm just playing dumb, because I'm just like, yeah, tell me more. And then and then someone's like, well, what other phone would you get? He's like, well, I love the Galaxy. The Galaxy is great. And a girl at the table, she goes, yeah, but you don't want your phone to blow up. All Samsungs blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the perception now, is that all Samsungs blow up. It's not, and the guy said, no, that was just one. That was just a node, not the one I use, And so there was some clarification, but like the de facto answer was that Samsungs blow up. And I feel like that, we keep saying that they're going to recover from the note and it's going to be no problem. But I think it's way too early to tell that. I think they've got to release another phone and see how that does, and see if the next iteration of the Galaxy, or if they release the rumored, note, another version of the note, how well that goes over.
Yeah. So. And they've been in serious damage control in many quite literally since the Note 7, thing went down. There've been tons of leaks about upcoming devices, some of which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. And also actually related to the Note 7 here real quick, Verizon, this just hit today, basically saying that there are still thousands of Verizon customers that still are holding on to the Galaxy Note 7. So they're going another step further, and they're basically routing all calls that aren't emergency calls from the device through to Verizon customer service. If that isn't going to force you to return your phone, you're going to have to talk to Verizon customer service every time you want to make a call. I don't know what will.
So Verizon has the ability to take any phone call you make and instead of connect it, to connect you to their customer service?
Apparently they do.
I feel like that's a much bigger story.
Good, then I'm happy we got there,
right?
I mean, I guess my point in bringing that up is just that it has not been a good year when you're talking about Samsung. Yeah, it's hard to understand the dynamics and the politics of how important Samsung is to South Korea. 23% of South Korea's gross domestic product is due to Samsung. Because Samsung isn't just phones.
Crazy.
It isn't just washing machines. It's like everything in the country. We actually had Elise Hu from NPR on Tech News Today earlier today, and she spoke a lot about it. So if you want to find more about the kind of the politics and the history behind why this is important for Samsung and for South Korea, check out today's Tech News Today to find out more. But really, what it boils down to for us is Note 7, people still have them, and now their calls are being routed to customer service. And that's about all we have on that.
That's crazy. Wow.
Do you think Note 7s are going to be collector's items like some people think they will be? I don't think so.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I miss mine, though. Like, apart from the whole blowing up thing, it was an amazing phone.
It never blew up on you.
No. Well, no, it didn't. Yeah. I mean, it took 2 months to get my money back, but that's another story.
you didn't go for another Samsung phone. Of course, you have the Pixel, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that time the Pixel had come out. I mean, you couldn't hope for a more perfect storm for Google to be like, oh, major competitors' phones are exploding. We'll just walk this Pixel thing straight down the middle here. So it's a pretty obvious choice, I think.
I wonder how much it actually paid off for Google. Do you think it actually resulted in net gains that they wouldn't have seen otherwise? I mean, maybe marginally, but do you think significantly?
I don't think significantly, but I think a product like this, if Google sticks to it, which, you know, remains to be seen, but if there's a Pixel every year and it gets better every year and it gets more heavily marketed every year, I think you want that thing to have the best possible start. And I reckon the whole Samsung thing did give them a slight sort of, you know, bump. You had all these people who had to return their phones. They're like, well, what do I get instead? And if they're average people, maybe they, you know, they go for an LG or they go for a HTC or something. But if they're Google fans and they see something like the Pixel, they're like, yeah, perfect timing. I reckon it did give them a bump. And then there's been all these stories. I mean, I don't know how many they've produced about them selling out, you know, at Verizon stores and other places where they're selling them. So they're in short supply. You know, in theory, that means that they've sold all the ones they've made. So it's obviously ahead of their predictions.
Yeah, right.
And the thing is that it's got to be – I mean, they had sales predictions for what the Pixel would do, but to measure the effect that the Note crisis would have on this Pixel, I mean, I got to imagine that's so hard to pin down to say, yes, sales happened because the Pixel had a problem. You know, like I would imagine if you ask somebody at Google whether or not they were positively affected by the Note's demise, they would say, oh, we're not really worried about that. We had our plan and we stuck to it, and other, you know, other market forces, you know, you just can't predict that. Mm-hmm. There's no way to model that. And I think, you know, Russ's comment about, you know, like if they stick with the Pixel and build on it over time, I mean, maybe the perfect storm that happened when the Pixel came out helped them with a little push, but they'll never cop to that. So
no, I don't think right. So. I mean, the other factor was you had the iPhone 7 come out, which came out to sort of mixed reviews, like among a lot of people. You know, the headphone jack was gone. It looked the same as the previous one. I don't think you can measure that either, but that's also a factor, is that people are like, yeah, the new iPhone's not that magical. Like, you know, I think Google had, you know, with the rumors that they rushed out the, you know, the Pixel after sort of failing to build it with Huawei, like it kind of worked out for them, like I think better than I think they could have hoped.
Mm-hmm. Well, if anything, these problems with Samsung opened the door for a new manufacturer to step in. And luckily enough, as Jason teased earlier, the godfather of Android is ready to grace us with his presence. Mr. Andy Rubin is back on the scene, as we found out.
Oh, hey, Andy.
There he is. Yeah, hey, Andy.
How's it going, Andy?
Welcome to the show.
Nice to come on. Well, it's good to see you, Andy. Your jib jab moves a lot faster than Hiroshi's. I'm not sure why that is.
He was way more energetic. Yeah. I also don't think Andy looks like this anymore.
I don't think so.
Based off the last photos I saw of him recently, this is like a 5-year-old photo.
Yeah, it is.
So news of Andy Rubin's new event, and Andy Rubin would say, yeah, the company to be announced sometime soon will be called Essential. There he is. So Bloomberg sources are reporting that Andy Rubin's new company is called Essential, and it's going to have a suite of consumer hardware products, including mobile and smart home devices, and a platform to tie it all together. Rubin discussed the company's centerpiece at CES, which is a bezel-less smartphone. So drink if you had bezel-less on your bingo card.
Right.
One model has a screen larger than the 5.5 inch, but smaller than the iPhone 7 Plus due to lack of bezels. They're also toying with metal edges and ceramic builds. They're developing a proprietary connector to allow for battery charge and feature expansion. So great. Another proprietary connector.
But feature expansion, Ron.
Yeah, and those features would be like an external camera for 360 photos, things like that would allow that. No word on whether or not it will run Android or not. And it is aimed at the top of the market and is expected to go on sale mid-2017 with a price close to the iPhone 7, like around $650. And it's important to note that Playground Global is Andy Rubin's startup incubator, which is focused on AI, robotics, augmented reality, things like that. And Rubin is focused on AI being the next major computer platform. So whether or not Essential is coming out of Playground Global is to be determined, or if it was a separate endeavor, if they're leveraging any of that stuff. But either way, Andy Rubin's coming back, and the Essential phone is going to be the phone that we all need. The question, though, Jason, is that if it doesn't run Android, do we pay it any mind on this show?
Well, I guess once we find that out, we probably pay it about as much mind as we pay, like, Tizen devices and smartwatches, passing note tangentially related.
I mean, do you think that a new software OS platform on a top of the line phone, nearly $700, is the right way to enter the market?
I don't know. When you've got the credentials of Andy Rubin, maybe he's got something figured out. You know, like you got to give him credit for launching one of, if not the most popular smartphone OSs that's ever existed. So when he has plans for something like this, it's impossible not to give him some credit. Sure. As far as that is concerned, it sounds to me, based on everything that he's talked about the last few years and kind of what they've been doing with Playground Global and everything, being so hyper focused on artificial intelligence, and especially that now that is just like a crazy buzzword that everything has AI. I mean, if he's coming out with a platform, let's say, or a new device that hinges on AI, which is what I would expect based on things that he's said in the past of what he's passionate about, I'd be very intrigued to see what he comes up with and to see how it differs from the AI that we're already seeing put into place and being used heavily by companies like Google and others. What do you think, Russell? I think anything that Andy does is interesting to me because he started Android. Are you excited for a new phone platform to develop Pocket Casts against?
Not more platforms. No,
sorry, didn't mean to put it that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, if his name wasn't attached to it, I couldn't care less. Like, every day some company's making a, you know, mid-tier phone with specs and whatever. But this is Andy Rubin, and he said, you know, there's going to be AI and there's going to be bezel-less and it's going to blow you away. It's going to be essential. Like, you just can't discount it because he's involved, just like you say, Jason. I'm a fan of his as well. Like, you know, this could go somewhere. The only thing I wonder, though, is there's two ways to build a company like this, right? What you can either be trying to build like a new platform you're going to bring out, you want it to be huge, you want millions of people to buy it, you want to take off, or you kind of, you know, you leave a big company, you make one of these small startups, you make it all, you know, fun and hip and cool, and you include all the latest buzzwords, and then you just wait for someone to buy you. Like, I don't know which angle he's taking, because if it's the buy, you know, get bought out by like an Apple or a Samsung or a Google, like, I don't really care about that. Like, I hope it's a company that's here to, you know, stick around.
I get the sense that Andy Rubin is. I mean, I gotta imagine he made a lot of money while he was at Google, right? Yeah. And he made enough money to start a incubator and an accelerator where he's got companies coming in that he's getting equity in. You know, so I imagine money isn't the issue for him. I feel like I almost get the sense that he really doesn't have something to prove, but wants to accomplish something in the mobile world. And so I would think that, you know, Russell, I think you're right. He's showing up with the intentions to be a player. And, you know, I would give this Essential phone a lot more attention than I would a Echo, you know, or a new kind of company that's burst on the scene with a China phone, you know, with some new take on a platform all built on Android. And whatever Essential is and whatever he comes up with, I think is going to be worth our attention regardless, because it potentially could be a game changer, especially if it's filling in this, you know, like, there's so much blasé attitude towards phones because they all look the same. And you know, you've got Android, you've got iPhone. Have something new. I think there's a market for that. I think there are customers that are waiting for it.
Especially, yeah, definitely. The only one quick thing I want to add is if it doesn't run Android, I think that's kind of almost shot itself in the foot. Like, Microsoft kind of proved that you can have the best, you know, OS, you know, one of the best out there. It doesn't matter if you can't get the apps and you can't get people to write for your platform, then, you know, good luck actually succeeding in the ecosystem. So I sincerely hope it's either stock Android, which I doubt, or some kind of fork of Android maybe, which is still like fairly easy to develop for.
I would, and I agree. I think it almost, if it's not an Android, I'm super disappointed, but I would like to pay attention to the fact that it's bezel-less. As we've been talking about bezel-less phones so much, Jason.
The most important part of this story, of course, is the fact that it doesn't have any bezels.
The future is bezel-less, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that remains to be seen, Ron. It remains to be seen if that is the future. I think I was reading something that, God, who was it that said this? His name is blanking from my memory. But basically that AI, artificial intelligence, is the next computing platform. That computing platforms cycle every 10 to 15 years. Big paradigms happen, paradigm shifts happen, and that AI is the next paradigm shift. If that's the case, and what we've all become so accustomed to, be it Android or iOS, is having a phone in our pocket to do all the, like, to do our thinking for us essentially throughout the course of any given day, then a company like Andy Rubin's Essential company that is born out of the idea of benefiting from the progress made in AI as we enter this new phase could be pretty darn successful. I would be surprised if it wasn't Android, only like you said, Russell, just the fact of kind of app support. But maybe a new phone, maybe this is totally pie in the sky, but maybe a new phone works on a completely different paradigm when it's based entirely on AI that maybe that changes the game a little bit. I don't know. But yeah, I'm very curious to see what he comes up with. But at the same time, didn't he leave Google because he was kind of bored with what he was doing there? Wasn't he kind of bored with the phone? So it's kind of strange that he's working the phone.
So we heard. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know with these things. Could have just as easily been a disagreement between two high-level people, and he's like, fine, I'm leaving. Like, see you later.
I mean, he's not a friend of the show. Not that we're not friendly to him. He just hasn't been on the show yet, so we can't officially call him friend of the show.
Just a matter of time, Jason. Just a matter of time.
Episode 400. 400, Jason.
I'll work on it. I'll reach out to Hiroshi and see if he can put me in touch with Andy Rubin. Okay, we have a video mail, and I'm not going to lie. I meant to cut it down, and I just completely ran out of time. So it's a little long, but I think it's worth talking about because I think it might actually affect a couple of people. So this is Jeremy, who sent us a video mail, and please be patient. Nexus 6P updates on Verizon. Take it away.
Hey, AAA crew. Last August, I finally switched from a Windows 10 mobile to Android. And I wish I could say that the transition has been smooth, but it really hasn't. I'm only going to cover one of the issues here. But what I did is I purchased an unlocked Nexus 6P, and I'm currently using it on Verizon. And one of the reasons that I bought that phone unlocked was the promise of getting upgrades or updates to software and security from Google for quite a while after that. But up until this point, the only software upgrade that I have gotten, I'm only up to Android 7.0. I haven't gotten the 7.1 update, and I haven't gotten the 7.1.1 update. And as of right now, I know it's only been out for a couple days, but I haven't even gotten the January security patch yet. This has taken a little bit of getting used to because with Windows 10 Mobile, I was able to sign up to basically bypass Verizon and get operating system upgrades as soon as they come out. And even if I didn't want to get them over the air, they had a really nice utility where I could download and have them installed just by plugging it into my computer without having to root or do anything like that. It took care of the whole process for me. And I find it strange that that kind of process doesn't exist or is a lot more complicated than saying, here's the utility, pick your phone, and it'll install the most current version of the software. I'm wondering if it's because I'm on Verizon that I haven't gotten the updates yet. And I'm wondering the point of getting an unlocked phone if I'm still going to be tied to when the carrier decides to release an update. If you've got more information on this, I would love to hear about it. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Jeremy. I'm sure you're not the only one who has a Nexus 6P that listens to the show that's also on Verizon that hasn't gotten an update. So thanks for sending in your video questions. Nice to get the video questions, by the way. So folks in the chat room are confirming kind of what I had found digging around, which is basically that you probably want to opt into the beta program, the Android beta program. And with the 6P, you should be able to get a beta version that's working once you opt in, and it'll push to your phone and it'll happen relatively seamlessly. It's google.com/Android/beta. You could manually flash or sideload it, but when you look up their kind of official releases, Google states in there that it's not approved for Verizon at this time. There's no real information as far as why, just that it's not. And it could break some functionality. That's probably why they're not pushing it out. That's probably why Google's not pushing it out as a regular OTA if they see that you're registered with Verizon. That's my guess. I don't know, because some people have gotten this update, and I don't know why some have and some haven't. But apparently, if you opt into the beta program, you can get access to it, and there you go. It's a push to you, so you don't even have to sideload it. It's really easy.
Well, Jason, I'm actually in that same exact situation. Verizon unlocked Nexus 6P. I did opt in for the beta, and I'm running 7.1.1.
Okay.
And that is the security patch level since December 5th. So
boom. All right, uh-huh. So since December 5th, and I think there's a new one. You'll probably get it
from January. I haven't gotten that one yet, and I just checked the update. So
still, it sounds like that's going to get Jeremy further than he's gotten already.
Right, but I'd also, a word of warning, since I've switched to the beta program and I've done this update, I've noticed my phone crashes at like 20% battery life, and I thought I had nailed it down to Snapchat was the culprit, but it seems to be anything now. So I don't know if it's reading the battery right or not on my phone.
That's a thing.
And Brian, that's the thing we talked about. We thought it was Snapchat, but I've been having the same thing on my Nextbit Robin running in their beta track, where for me, it's anywhere from 30% below, and it used to just be Snapchat, but now it's been, unfortunately, Russell Pocket Casts or sometimes Talon or Facebook or any sort of, data intensive app that I'm using. And what will happen is I have the grid from my battery widget app that shows the battery comes along to 30%, drops down to nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I have to plug it back in to either a battery or to the wall for it to reboot. And then the battery picks up at 30% again. The graph shoots right up. I have no idea why it is. I don't know if that's something with the beta track or whatever. I'm currently talking to the Nextbit folks as to why that's happening. Yeah, strange. It's very strange.
I had heard about battery issues with the 6P. I didn't realize that there was any sort of connection to either the beta program or Verizon. And then you're saying that it's
I'm on Nextbit. T-Mobile. I'm on T-Mobile.
You're T-Mobile, and you're saying it's Nextbit. Yep. So
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have reported like at 20% or at 30%.
Yep.
Boom, the phone just shuts down. So when that happens to you, Brian, are you able to just restart back up and continue using, or do you have to charge it up?
No, it's a dead battery, basically. Dang. It's almost battery.
You plug it in, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've tried rebooting the phone, and it'll do like the very first part of the reboot, and then it'll just go dead again. So it's
that's the thing, Brian, is that it's not a dead battery, but the OS thinks it's a dead battery for some reason. Because what I'll do is like I've been carrying a little Mophie battery with me, and I'll plug the Mophie battery in and then turn it back on, and it turns on immediately, like no time to charge. And so it's not a matter of fact that it was at zero needed to charge back up. It's just that it needs to think that it's plugged back in again for some reason to recognize where the battery life is at.
You better recognize.
I don't know. I was thinking that maybe it was just misreading the percentage of battery. You know, like maybe it is at closer to zero than 30 because it doesn't even turn on battery saver at all. Like it doesn't even get to that point. It just shuts off.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's misreading the battery level. I think it's misinterpreting. I don't know. What am I? What do I know? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know anything. So Brian, let's stay in touch as to what we find out with all that. So yeah. I was hoping for the next system update. To the next, you know, kind of build on the beta track to see if that addressed that or not. But it's happening more and more. And what's weird is that it will come and go. It'll be the kind of thing where it happens to me like four times in one day and it's insane, but then it doesn't happen for a week.
Right.
So, yeah, strange.
Man, okay. Well, then I'm even more happy that we played this video mail on there because it seems to go deeper than just that. So there you go. Well, hopefully that helps. And opt into the beta program, I guess, at your own risk, because you might get that update, but then you also get this battery thing. So I don't know if there's an easy solution for you, Jeremy, but there you go. Let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode. New sponsor on All About Android, actually, WordPress. Of course, you've heard about WordPress. You know what WordPress is. WordPress is everywhere on the internet, powers 27% of all websites. Guaranteed you've seen a WordPress site, including many of the biggest names in business, in news, in technology. And that's because WordPress knows business. They know when you have a small business, they know what it takes to deliver a good site for you. They know what to do. So you can create your small business website on WordPress.com today for yourself to kind of check it out and see what they offer with built-in search engine optimization. WordPress also offers mobile-friendly design, so your sites are going to look good no matter what size screen, no matter what device a user is using. Your customers can find your website easily and, like I said, access it from any device. It's going to look great no matter how they do that. And I mean, obviously, support is super important. It's critical when your small business is being represented online. You need immediate information, if and when issues arise, and WordPress steps up to the plate. WordPress offers you 24/7 support, so you can find answers to your questions, get back to doing the important things, running your business, and getting your stuff done. Come see why more websites run on WordPress than on any other platform. You can join the thousands of small businesses who use WordPress for theirs. Like I said, you don't have to look very hard to find them. They're everywhere. That's because
all my sites are running WordPress, Jason.
There you go. See? Yeah. That's probably part of the reason why you've seen them, because you've been to Ron's sites. WordPress brings it. WordPress sites look awesome in the process as well. So right now, WordPress is offering you 27% off a premium or a business plan. Visit WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to start your small business website today. That's 27% off your premium or your business plan at WordPress.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank WordPress for their support and welcome them to the show. It's great to have you guys on board. All right, let's talk about some hardware.
All right. Well, we were excited for the upcoming HTC U announcement. Remember, we were looking at the little HTC, the C in the HTC logo changed to a U.
Yeah.
And we were nervous about what it was going to be coming off of the HTC 10, a phone that we thought was great but underreported and undervalued. Well, so HTC had their event and they announced the HTC U Ultra and the U Play. And if you haven't seen a theme, they're all about you. these are some perplexing phones, at least from my point of view. So they announced these two new phones. They both feature a metal edge and glass back that they described as a liquid surface. You can see it right there. It's nice and shiny.
Kind of looks liquidy around the corners. It looks like it was poured into shape.
Like frosting on a cake.
Yeah.
But
don't eat the phone. Don't eat it.
Most noticeably, in this case, HTC U stands for USB-C, as it features a USB-C connector and no headphone jack. So there you have it. It also features a fingerprint sensor on the front, which is flanked by capacity nav buttons. The Ultra model is going to be for sale for $750 and features a 5.7-inch QHD display with a secondary 2-inch display above it, kind of like that LG phone with the little notification screen. It's running a Snapdragon 821 with 4 gig of RAM, 64 gig of storage. It's got a micro SD card, 12 megapixel rear-facing camera with OIS and a f1.8 aperture and a 3,000 milliamp battery running Nougat. And the HTC U Play is the little smaller version of it. It's 5.2 inches with a 1080p display, no secondary display, running a MediaTek Helio P10, 3 or 4 gig of RAM, 32 or 64 gig of storage, 16 megapixel rear facing camera with an f2.0 aperture, and it ships with Marshmallow Nougat to follow. And it's important to note that there's no boom sound front-facing speakers, no headphone jack, no modern Snapdragon 835, and it's a larger screen without battery size improvement and a higher price, which is why it's a perplexing phone, because it seems as if they just went and it's got a bezel. I mean, think about it. It just seems as if they took all of the trends of phones as they're going, bigger battery life, supporting of peripherals and devices, better processor, all that sort of stuff, and went in the opposite direction. I don't know what to make of it, other than I like the blue color. It also comes in, one thing it did mention there, it comes in a variety of colors, a white, blackish, a pink kind of one, and a blue one, which is pretty cool. Russell, what do you think of this phone? Is this going to replace your Pixel?
No, but spoiler alert, giving the brother right to start. I mean, I do like that it's shiny. I know that'll get scratched, like crazy the second you put it on a surface and like slide it just a little bit. We've kind of seen this sort of design sort of back before from Apple and their jet black phone or whatever. Like, it looks really nice. The second you touch it, there's fingerprints all over it and it's scratched. Yep. I mean, the other part of it is I hope removing the headphone jack does not become a thing. Like, I know Apple did it and they're forward looking and all that other garbage, but I love the headphone jack. Like, I just have so many things that go in there. It's a universal standard. It's been around for like so long. There's no reason to get rid of it. I sincerely hope when the next lot of phones from LG and Samsung come out, that's still there. Like, I don't think it's a given that you just have to get rid of the thing.
It's funny because it's very unpopular. I know The Verge is so aggressive in saying how it's hostile to the consumer. Right. And I don't disagree. We've talked a lot about, you know, you forget your headphones or your earbuds. And you could just walk into a Walgreens and for $9 buy a cheap pair of headphones and be, you know, if you're on the road, it's a good solution or whatever. But I really do think that I don't know when, a year, maybe 2 years, we're going to look back on episodes like this and say, oh, remember when we were all caught up on that headphone jack issue? And like not even think about what life was like back then, because we'll be on to – we'll finally have got the wireless, you know, kind of standard, you know, down. We'll have little earbuds that are completely wireless and we won't know how we lived without them. I don't know. And I'm not saying that's going to happen tomorrow or it's not going to be easy to get there. But I think there will be a time where we look back and laugh at the reliance on the headphone jack that we had now.
Maybe someday. All I can say is it's what – okay, hate to go back to – to my daily life, but I am using an iPhone right now, an iPhone 7, 7 Plus, and it does have that proprietary port down there with no headphone jack, and it stung me multiple times at this point. And every time it sucks. Every time it's like, seriously, I've got the headphone. I have everything I normally need, but I don't have this little connector to plug it in. Apparently,
and it's the times you least expect it.
You're in the car, that's the problem, someone, is
like,
that you...
And you got to plug in, you're like, oh, this doesn't go in there. You're on the plane.
I firmly believe that we will develop wireless technology and handle the handshaking and the battery life and all stuff like that. Because honestly, as great as it is to be able to pick up this little $9 earbuds in the airport as I'm going somewhere, when I've got something that's literally the size of this little earbud that sits in my ear and I never have to worry about it, I will much rather have that. And when it works as it's supposed to be, it's not now. You know, right. Like I see people with the clunky wireless, with those things that go behind them and all that stuff. I don't like the Bluetooth stuff. Yeah. I haven't talked to anybody firsthand as to whether or not the Apple earbuds are the solution or not. But I do think that at some point we're going to look back and laugh at times like this.
There will be a time when maybe we do that. The problem with going all wireless, though, is that, you know, again, from a convenience standpoint, that is yet another thing that you have to remember to charge and then remember to put back in the plate in the thing that you take with you. So there's always this step of like remembering to do that. And it requires removing, doing something and then putting it back. Like in my own very small world, my headphones are always in my backpack. My phone is always in my pocket. If the phone takes the headphone jack, I never have to worry about it. I never have to think twice about it.
Think about wireless charging. We're going to come to a point where we don't have to plug anything in at some point. Like, admittedly,
maybe
like,
then.
It's funny.
Okay.
It's funny. I'm literally wearing a shirt with the Epcot Spaceship Earth design on the front of it. So I recognize that I'm talking a little bit like the AT&T commercials from the mid 90s, where like, imagine a world where you don't have to plug anything, you know, like, but I firmly believe that there's going to be a point where our devices are wirelessly charged. They're always and they work and they, and it's like, imagine 20 years ago, Jason, when I come to you, I come into work, I go, Jason, guess what? In 20 years, we're not going to use floppy disks ever again, right? Back then, we would have been like, what are you, crazy? What am I going to save my files on, right? Yeah, like we would never have even fathomed it. You know, we fathom that we live in a world with no removable media. Like no discs, no CDs, no – like we've moved beyond that because of hard drive capacities, cloud storage, all this sort of stuff. These things change. It takes time, but there's got to be steps forward in order to make that change come around. You know, now I don't think the HECU is going to be the device that brings about this change, nor do I think it's the iPhone. But I think that at some point it's going to go that way. To bring it back to the HTC phones, when we were emailing about this, Jason, with Flo – I believe I compared HTC to the Star Trek movies in that it seems as if the even releases are the ones that are worth getting and the odd releases are the ones worth skipping. And this is following suit with that. This is technically the 11th phone and this is the one that I would skip. So
Although it does look really nice, but it's got that glass back. That's not going to work for me.
And a second screen. I think manufacturers need to give up with the whole second screen thing. Like, it's been tried. It didn't work. It's just a gimmick. Like, I know there's probably some fans out there, all five of you, but it's just stop it.
Yeah. That goes back to the problem I was talking about earlier with, you know, kind of looking forward to Andy Rubin's Essential Phone, is that there's such a lack of innovation in the mobile phone marketplace that any little different things they'll grasp onto and try to tout as the next big thing. And the fact that we can pack a little screen above the main screen is now the thing that makes their product different than everyone else's. It's useless. I agree with you. It's useless. Yeah. It's a neat little gimmick, but it's not true innovation. The next area of true innovation for these phones has got to be battery and energy life. It's a chemical problem. It's not a micro problem. It's not something that can be solved by getting smaller. It's like we can't make batteries that don't blow up.
right. Oh man, when they crack that nut of battery life and suddenly you're getting days out of it because of some new big advancement that we never saw coming that suddenly exists and all phones are starting to integrate it and everything. That's a pretty big advancement. And that opens up a whole other world of possibilities too. A whole new world.
Sorry. Great. Now that's stuck in my head.
Sorry. I was in a car for 3 days traveling around in the mountains with my family listening to Moana soundtrack on repeat the entire flipping time. So I've got Disney on the mind. I apologize to bring you into my world. In another kind of example of innovation, or remains to be seen, ZTE crowdsourced features for its upcoming phone. And we talked, I think, about this a few months back when they were talking about doing this. And now the Kickstarter for Project CSX, a.k.a. Hawkeye, is live. CSX stands for Crowdsource X, the crowd, as it were, voted on their favorite features that they wanted ZTE to build into their next phone. This is one feature. You can stick it to a surface.
That's so basically, weird.
Yeah, so
it's
strange.
The future.
They're showing the eye tracking.
Right. That's what they're using. but another part of it is the fact that it sticks to any surface. So basically the whole point is that people voted for hands-free use. We want a device that you can use completely hands-free. So
on the subway, you stick it to the person in front of you.
Oh, I see how this works now. Yeah, see, no one will take it. No one will remove it from that person.
Stick it on their back. It's fine.
So eye tracking, obviously technology to follow what you're looking at and swiping, and I would love to see it in action before I judge it, but I can't imagine that working very well, because you're looking at things to read, not looking at things to navigate, and how is one detected but the other is not? You know, like false positives on, you wanted to switch to the other page. No, I didn't. Yeah. I needed to read to the edge. Like, how does that work?
I don't know, but I
how
love
does that
the
work,
idea
that Ron?
I have no idea, but I love the idea that they're crowdsourcing these features. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Because the internet can always be trusted when it comes to crowdsourcing things.
This is like the Homer car to me. It's like you get all these cool ideas, you put them in a phone, and then you're like, what? I don't even know why people want this. You want to stick your phone to things and then have it move with your eyes? I mean, I'm sure there's a use case for this, but yeah, it's eluding me.
Well, hey, the crowd resoundingly voted this particular functionality. So it was not just one person with a crazy idea, or maybe it was one person with a crazy idea and everyone went, yeah, that crazy idea. That happened with Bodie McBoatface, if I can remind you.
I was counting down until we got the Bodie reference. Yeah, but I think the eye tracking is neat because if you think about the use case of using the phone, the sticking to the wall is weird, but the holding your phone in your hand, and I always go back to the commuting kind of example of being on BART or on the subway or whatever. And if you're sitting there and you're holding the phone and you want to turn the page and you just do it by your natural eye movement, if it's smart enough to work and not get false positives, like you mentioned, that would be really cool. The photo that they just showed there, the phone attached to the mirror as the woman does her makeup. That's a little, I guess, but you could just do that with a peripheral, like with any sort of a suction cup. But I don't know. I think eye tracking and eye movement, and this is not the first time this has been attempted. I mean, there have been several different eye tracking kind of ways of navigation and things like that from other companies. But this is neat. I mean, if the users want it, they've spoken. So let them vote with their dollars on Kickstarter.
And not very many dollars, I might add. $200 to get in on the ground floor before it's released to the public. I don't know if that's going to be the final price, but that's what's listed on the Kickstarter. Expected to ship September 2017. Specs are by no means like top of the line. Obviously, it's a $200 phone. So you're getting a Snapdragon 625. Does ship with Nougat. 1080p display, I believe. I mean, they're not horrible. They're just not, you're not getting a top of the line device. But you get that eye tracking thing and the fact that it sticks to walls.
But this sticks to walls with a special adhesive case, right? I want to know this adhesive case. So, like, we can't put it on the back of the phone because obviously you don't want to stick to your purse and all your other stuff. So
here's stick in your pocket and you'll never get it out. Yeah.
How do you carry the case around if it's sticky?
Right. Like, is there a case for the case?
Yeah.
Is
a case, do you get a case for the case?
You need a case. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Technology is crazy. We want to hear about more crazy technology. So I'm already bullish on the no bezel bandwagon, right? And it's safe to say that 2017 is going to be the year of no bezels, but it also might be finally the first year of one of my most anticipated technology innovations. Samsung and LG may finally release phones that have screens that actually fold. Samsung expected to produce 100,000 of these in the third quarter, according to the Korea Herald. Of course, you know, criminal charges pending. LG is expected to do the same in Q4. And Samsung reportedly moved the display to the outside of the device, which is an important design note, as you see in this photo here. And consumers don't want to always have to unfold their device to look at the screen like a book. And when it is open, it's basically a 7-inch tablet. This is so cool. I want a foldable screen so badly. I love that we're moving in this direction. I cannot wait.
After my experience with the Sony Tablet P, of which I'm putting a link in the doc for you, Brian, after my experience with the Sony Tablet P, I'm happy they are choosing to put the display on the outside and not the inside, because that was not a very fun experience. But, but Sony probably did it a little bit differently. This was a couple of years ago, and it was like two displays.
The little PSP design, the clamshell, right?
Man, that was a night. That was a nightmare device. Yep. So I guess I'm happy that they would put the display on the outside, and then you get kind of like a phone, as you would expect, that could open up to be a tablet. I don't know. I'm intrigued. I don't know.
Something about the physics of this just seems off to me. Like, it's the rest of the phone is not bendy, right? So you got to put all the chips and stuff on one side or the other side. So presumably, is there a fat side and a thin side? And if you fold it over, is it like double fat? And what happens to the crease line as well? I have so many questions.
The photo strategically does not show you the back of the device, so we don't know, right?
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Jason's just modeling it.
This is one of those rare Android iPhone dual screens that fold.
Hey, man, but a 7-inch tablet that opens up to like a 14-inch tablet, like, that's pretty cool. Like, I don't know. I just love – admittedly, it's a gimmick.
It opens up to a 7-inch tablet.
Right. It opens up to a 7-inch tablet. Right. And then, you know, when folded is half that or whatever the demand, the thing is. But that's pretty – I mean, like, I don't know. I think that's – if it works and it doesn't interrupt your usage of it, and it's not, as to Russell's point, it's not hugely thick and annoying. Like, that's so cool, you know. So,
and then soon we'll be to the completely bezel-less phone of the future that Ron is so desperately clinging to.
Roll it up, put it in my bag.
I believe it.
Exactly.
That's what I want. I want the little. That's the piece of paper like that you can fold and unfold, and then it's a phone, it's a tablet, it's a TV.
Yeah, it's a scroll. Let me check my phone.
Right.
Some pictures of my kids.
That's what we need, a digital scroll.
It'd be cool. It'd be very cool.
Yeah, that
man.
Would be pretty cool. That would be very cool. Here's an email. It's the day of long feedback. I cut this down and it's still kind of long, but check it out.
You already cut it down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I already cut it down, dude. It was like twice as long. But I thought it was interesting discussion fodder. So here we go. It's so long. His name is outside of the thing. What is it?
Yeah, you got to scroll in the cell.
Jorge or George. I never know how exactly to pronounce it. It changes per person. J-O-R-G-E. So I'll just say both. There you go. He says, to me, Google is this close to having their cake and eating Microsoft's too, but they simply need to rebrand a few things right away. Three easy steps. One, destroy the Android brand already, he says. It's Google OS. They've started it with a Pixel. They need to follow through 100%. A lot of people don't understand that Android is just another OS. Google, on the other hand, is that service you use to find out everything about anything. Two, Android or Google OS must be made adaptable to whatever type of screen, input devices, interfaces that you attach to the host device. If I hook up my Google OS phone to a keyboard and TV, I should get a Windows-like experience to pop up. Microsoft's already doing this with Continuum. Several third parties like RemixOS have forked Android to do this as well. So this is, of course, inevitable. But if Google calls it Andromeda or something else nerdy like that, they will lose years of progress. Trust me. Three, Chrome OS is fantastic. I actually put this in partially because I appreciated how he wrote it.
I like his bombast. It's
yes,
pretty good. Yeah.
Totally. Three, Chrome OS is fantastic, but it must die and be replaced by a Continuum capable Google OS Android ASAP. My uncle, who was a computer engineer from the 70s and 80s, had no idea why Chromebooks exist. I had to sit there and try to sell him on the purpose and the benefits of Chrome OS, which, of course, are many. But still, it should have been obvious to him, and it wasn't. If Google OS, Android, was an OS that ran on any device and simply adapted to each form factor, then all Google would have to say is that this is our version of Windows, and it works on anything. Then he threw in another one, four, even though he said three things. He threw in a fourth one. Develop desktop-style apps. If Google does steps one through three, developers will do the rest. Developers will keep upgrading their APKs such that they will automatically morph into pro or near-pro programs once the desktop mode switch has been detected. If Google does exactly, in all caps, all of the above, they will win the PC race, in air quotes, faster than if they only do some and not at all. Huge AAA fan, Jorge Garcia. Thank you for writing it. Put a smile on my face.
I would like to know what Jorge Garcia's credentials are. I mean, like here we are, we're trusting him, we're believing him, we're going. If they do exactly what he says, clearly he must work at some think tank or some sort of, you know.
Or Jorge's from the future. This email could be written by someone from the future. I think that's plausible. We can't rule that out.
Wow.
There it is.
We should trust him and put all our money into this idea. Maybe that's what Andy Rubin is doing.
I'm surprised it didn't end with some sort of just send me $50 and I can show you how to do it.
Drew Nielsen in chat says, I totally get this guy. Universal platforms and universal apps are the future. Yeah. As the token developer of the group, Russell, with a product, but, what do you think if this existed? Do you think, as Jorge says, developers would rush to do this, to take part in kind of a Continuum like version of Android?
Let's see, this is already kind of happening, isn't it? Chrome OS now runs Android apps. Android apps run on laptops, they run on tablets, they run on phones. Like, we're getting there. I agree that Google has a slight branding issue. Like, you've got Android and Chrome OS, and the distinction between the two can be confusing sometimes. I don't think they need to make a Google OS, though. I don't think they have a perception problem. I think Android is a fairly good brand. Even if you don't know your phone runs Android, you know you're getting like a Google phone. Like, you buy the Pixel, right? It's a phone from Google. Like, I think that's enough. The fact that it runs Android, I think it's fine. People understand that Apple phones run iOS. Like, it's not really a problem. I don't think the name is the problem. I think the weird part is how slowly they've been getting there. So they started with a completely separate product, which was Chrome OS, and you wrote sort of web apps and stuff for it. And the Android was the complete opposite. You know, you're writing all these native apps to run on Android. And all of a sudden, the two have kind of merged in this weird way where you've got the Google Play Store on some Chrome OS sort of devices, and you can go there and there and download Android apps. It's kind of feels like that weird in-between stage, if that makes sense. Like, it feels like a few years from now, we'll be like, wasn't it funny that the entire thing wasn't just built in and there wasn't two style of apps? It was just, you know, one. That kind of makes a lot more sense. And I guess that's why he's saying, you know, Windows has been here already. They've got their universal platform. Is that where it's called? Where you can write a phone app that also
universal Windows app
and everything else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Russell, will we look back and laugh at Google's interoperability challenges before or after we look back and laugh at the headphone jack?
Oh, that's a good one. I reckon the interoperability thing will be fixed in the next few years. Like, it seems like there's now one person running, you know, both those things, Chrome OS and Android, and they're just slowly merging. And then one day they'll probably just have the same name and they'll be like, this is the OS that you run. And I could be weird, but I don't think the name is important. I don't think people care about the names of their operating systems, do they? If Windows was called Fred, I think you'd still install it.
I mean, I think that ties into the general idea that Google just has an ongoing kind of marketing deficiency in certain ways where it doesn't do a great job of selling itself. But the problem is that
it's not so much that Google has a branding deficiency, and I don't disagree with you wholly, Jason, there, but Google has a much smaller branding timeline than Microsoft and even Apple has had. Right. If you look at it, Microsoft's been around since the early 80s. Right. Apple's been around since the late 70s. Right. These are brands that are established in our lexicon. Windows has been a permanent fixture of my life for more than 2/3 of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I remember running Windows 3.0. Right. Like, that Windows is just, that's what it is. It's Windows. Right. Mm-hmm. And Apple exists, and they come out with the Apple Macintosh. So when they came out with the Apple iPhone, it was just another device and that sort of thing. Whereas Google has now become a like Kleenex and Xerox, and like, oh, just Google it. You know, like, oh, I'm going to Google that, right? It's become a verb, where Apple and Microsoft never had that problem. And so, yeah, they have a branding deficiency, but it's a different type of problem. And also, Google hasn't been in the phone or in the device business long enough to be able to navigate all that. Microsoft has had 30 years of being able to figure out how to name the different versions of Windows. And admittedly, they screwed it up too. Let's not forget Windows ME and Windows Vista and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But I just think that we hold Google up to a higher standard when comparing them to companies that have been around for nearly 40 years.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Yeah. But Google, with all of their resources, they should be able to figure it out. That's
ASAP.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a break and thank another sponsor of this episode. We love these guys, Tracker. We're all used to losing. I know I am. I lose things all the time. Losing our possessions. Newsweek actually reports that the average American wastes 55 minutes a day looking for things they own but can't find. That adds up to a lot over the course of a week. So, you know, do some math and you'll see how much time you're wasting. Tracker makes losing things a thing of the past, and I'll tell you how to get one for free. The Tracker Bravo locates misplaced keys, wallets, luggage, instruments, bicycles, electronic devices, even pets in seconds. Use your imagination. You can track it. The coin-sized device is constructed with anodized aluminum for the thinnest, most durable tracking, and you can easily attach the tracker to your items with the key loop, which they include. They also include some adhesive, if that's a better way to attach it. Tracker is enabled by Bluetooth LE, so the battery lasts up to 1 year. You can add a laser-engraved message to each Tracker Bravo, things like return information or pet information, so you make sure to get that pet back if the pet goes out for a walk and you didn't want it to. And you can now personalize your tracker with a custom-printed image, so you can get super... dial it into your business logo or whatever you want to do with the tracker. You can put an image on there. Pair Tracker to your iOS or Android device and find its precise location with a tap of a button. You can track up to 10 devices at once with your phone. You can also customize two-way separation alerts. So you'll be notified before you leave your item behind. And then if you lose your phone, you can actually push the button on the tracker and your phone will ring even if you happen to leave it on silent. With over 3.5 million devices shipped, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world, so your lost item will show up on a map, even if it's miles away. And if you lose your item, the Tracker app records its last known location on a map, so when another Tracker user comes within 100-foot range of your item, you're going to receive a GPS update of where your item is located. In our house, we actually bought like a collection of trackers and gave them out at the holidays, gave a couple to my parents, a few to other people. It was a really great kind of like stocking stuffer idea, and people were loving it. So, you know, makes a good gift as well. Go to thetracker.com and never lose your possessions again. Plus, just for our audience, if you enter promo code AAA, you're going to get a free Tracker Bravo with your order. That's thetracker.com, promo code AAA to get your free Tracker Bravo today. And we thank Tracker for their support of All About Android and the TWiT network. And without further ado, we're not jumping to apps quite yet. We're going to hardware. Ryan knew. He's like, yeah, quit setting it up. I knew that. All right, wearable stuff.
So a little update on wearables, as the balloon deflates on wearables, at least our excitement of them. But Google and LG are going to do something about that. So Android Wear 2.0 is supposedly scheduled to launch on February 9th, according to friend of the show at EvLeaks. Google and LG will hold an event and will also show off two new smartwatches to be unveiled with the new version, the LG Watch Sport and the LG Watch Style. And really what this is going to be is a Nexus-like collaboration between Google and LG on sale the following day, which is awesome. Make the announcement, make it available. It'd be better to have it available that day, but whatever. I'll take the next following day.
Next day is pretty good.
Yeah, next day is pretty good. The Watch Sport is 14.2 millimeter. Is it millimeters? Yeah, millimeters thick. Yep. In titanium and dark blue, and the watch style is 10.8 millimeters thick with swappable straps in titanium, silver, and rose gold. So Florence would be Flo is going to be very happy about the rose gold option. They feature plastic OLED displays. The support is a 480 by 480 display with 768 mega RAM, 4 gig storage, and a 430 milliamp battery. And the style is a 360 by 360 display with 512 megabytes of RAM, 4 gig of storage, not 404, and a 240 milliamp battery. So the style is the smaller little option of the two.
Yeah.
The Sport has got cellular connectivity and NFC to support with payments, and both have the digital crown for navigation. And they've got a Google Assistant integration, which is something that we all love and want to hear. And they're water and dust resistant, IP68 and IP67. So that's good to hear that. And they both, as you saw in the photo there, both have got round, smiling faces. So
no flat tire as far as I can see.
No flat tire. Well, I mean, it's hard to tell on that display.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see the demo of the Assistant integration on it.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And actually, God, who was it in chat? JJ mentioned or asked the question, will it use Project Soli technology? I doubt it. But that would be really cool. That's the kind of like radar technology that allows you to control your smartwatch, waving your hand over it. And when you see it in action, it's actually a really gestures. Cool idea. Gestures in the air and stuff. Maybe eventually they'll roll it into their smartwatches. If smartwatches as a category lasts that long, what do you think, Russell? Do these intrigue you? Are you still in on the wearable game? Were you ever actually? Oh, okay, you got one.
Hey, it's the Moto 360 version to my wrist.
Okay,
I was in from the start from when Google. I think they gave them out at I/O 2 years ago, yep. 3 years ago, whenever it launched. We got some free ones. Yeah, you developed
2.5 years ago. Yeah,
yeah, that's the one. So. The thing is, I've found that I rely on it less and less, and I've started to kind of care less. I really like the time on my wrist. I like being notified of things. That's about it. I see all the new features, and I don't know if I'm getting old or what, but I'm like, yeah, I don't want any of this stuff. But I do want new watch models, so, you know, thinner, lighter, hopefully smaller is good. Like, I know some of them are getting, you know, bigger and chunkier and starting to put GSM and stuff in. Like, just back away from that, just make me a really thin watch, and I'm happy. But, yeah, I'm not that excited. Is this category dying, or am I just kind of getting bored? I don't know.
I feel exactly the same as you, Russell. Like, I mean, it's hard for me to know whether the category is dying. I don't think the category is thriving necessarily. I think it's not nearly as much of a powerhouse as technology companies wanted it to be. And now they've moved on to the next, you know, shiny thing, whatever that is. Maybe it's artificial intelligence or whatever the case may be, or VR. VR is another kind of, is this going to go the same way as smartwatches? But I feel like a lot of the passion and drive around smartwatches has died off. There are still core users, and it will probably still exist as a option, but I don't know if it's necessarily the next, you know, big thing anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jason. I mean, I think it's kind of going into the same category as tablets.
Yeah.
You know, where it's this innovation that came out. Some people really like it. They bought some product. It didn't take over the marketplace. Not everybody is talking about it, and they're available if you want them, but they're not going to be the thing that's going to drive innovation in the future. It's just another thing.
Yeah. I mean, fitness and a lot of people in chat are making this point too, that fitness wearables are still pretty popular. Because they have more of a purpose, I suppose. The thing I really liked about Android Wear initially was the whole idea that I was getting notifications on my wrist and it made things a little more immediate. I didn't have to pick up my phone to look. I could just get the buzz on my wrist and look at it. Over time, though, I kind of got to the point to where I don't want to be bothered by notifications. I want to check on my own schedule. And so make my phone so that it doesn't vibrate. I put it on silent usually. Or, you know, if my watch, like I've had the Apple Watch and I've been using that and it goes off all the time. And I'm at a point right now where I'm like, I don't want to have to feel like I'm I'm being guilted into look at this message that was sent to me. Like, it can wait. I've got real life going on here. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the novelty factor. When you first get it, you're like, amazing, someone called me and I can see their name and I'm getting Twitter notifications, how cool. And then 6 months later, you're like, I'm getting Twitter notifications, just like, go away. Like, yeah, I think I'm the same. I've started to turn a lot of that stuff off. Like, I still get important stuff and it's still useful for that, but I don't know if I'd go out and like buy a brand new watch just so I can get, I don't know, higher res notifications on a thinner watch or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is interesting that this is a Google collaboration with LG. These are interesting that Google didn't go the Pixel approach. Like, they really went the Nexus approach as opposed to the Pixel approach. You know, it's still branded LG, supposedly. Maybe that'll change. But it's not Google's watch. It's LG's watch, and Google worked with them on it to be a launch vehicle for Android Wear 2.0. That's really what it seems like. So,
all right.
Yeah, the whole coherent marketing thing from Google isn't. It's never quite happening, is it? Like, it seems like I like what they did on the phone. You got the Pixel brand. It's got a G on the back. This is the Google phone. I would have been perfectly happy for them to say this is the Google Watch. And yeah, there are others, but this is our watch.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I would completely agree. And it kind of has that kind of steel look, you know, similar to the Pixel laptop anyways. Not to the Pixel phone. The Pixel phone looks way different from the Pixel laptops. But anyways. Hey, we've got one single app story to talk about. Let's do it.
Excuse me.
Let's see here. Big fan of Google Maps. It's getting more features if you happen to be a ride hailer. An update is rolling out to bring start to finish booking and payment for Uber into the Maps app. The Uber app doesn't even need to be installed in order for this functionality to work. So it's literally bringing the entire process beginning to end into Google Maps. That's a pretty big deal, I would say, for Uber. You pick a destination, tap the rideshare tab, select Uber. The feeds and arrival times appear. You can pick a credit card, hit request. Then after the fact, you can give the driver ratings. Driver call buttons are there as well, all within the Maps app. I just really don't use any of the ride sharing apps. So
I use them more than I probably should. And my first question, I mean, I know that Uber was invested in by Google Ventures. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, in Google Maps currently you can see when you see how long it'll take to get there by foot, by car, by mass transit, there's also by Uber. You know, right. So there's been little Uber integrations over the time, but basically eliminating the need for the Uber app at all and just using the API to handle the bookings and everything is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is that one thing about ride sharing, at least for me as somebody who doesn't have a car and really depends on ride sharing in this urban environment, you know, I use Uber, I use Lyft, I use Juno, so are they going to open it up to support all the ride sharing apps, or is it just going to be preferential treatment for Uber?
Yeah, there's a tab in that little video walkthrough. There is a tab for Lyft in there.
Interesting.
But they don't show it. They don't show any of the functionality in it, and they didn't mention it in their release information.
Right.
So I don't know. It kind of sounds like they probably will get some sort of competitive stuff. Yeah, see, there it is, Lyft. Go ahead and push the Lyft tab, Brian. Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't work like that. Dang it. Really should. Get to working on that, Google.
Yeah. Cool. I think it's cool. I got it in mind here. I just tested it out. It even works in Adelaide.
You got it on your maps. It pushed out to map. Oh, okay.
Well, so it's got a thing at the top that says... Yeah, I think they're slowly rolling it out at the moment. So it says get a taxi in minutes at the top. There's an ad for some reason. I don't know why that's there. And then the next two results are like UberX and Uber Black. And they tell me 4 minutes away. Sorry, guys. Got to go.
I'm trying that right now. I want to see if I have the latest update or not.
You put in, you say I want to go from here to there, and you get the normal, like, I'm driving to this place, I'm going here, and then the next thing back is, it takes 9 minutes via Uber.
I do not have it. Although they did, it looks like they did add bicycle.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Oh, wow,
is this it? Is this it?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, that looks a little different from the screenshot that they were showing, but...
Yeah, I have a feeling that other thing was just a bonker.
So if I go like that... Oh, it's taking me through to the app, the Uber app.
Oh, yeah, but apparently what's going to happen soon is you won't need the app at all. Like, apparently that's the next sort of stage.
Yeah, so this is even beyond... I think what they're showing off here is even beyond what's here. This might be like capturing the initial and then pushing through the app. You're going to get more here in a few days. So cool.
Cool. All right. Let's do another email.
Yeah.
All right. So Dom wrote in the controversial app arena changes. Has got everybody talking about the new app arena scoring.
Everybody. I mean, it was on Entertainment Weekly.
It was all over. I mean, I had paparazzi following me around the city. It was just crazy.
What do you have to say about the changes, the scoring changes to Android, All About Android Arena?
So Dom wrote in, and I'm glad Dom took it upon himself to do something that I secretly hoped someone would do, but I didn't want to say it. But I'm glad that he did it. Dom said, with the exciting new point system you guys introduced for the 2017 arena, I thought it might be interesting to see what the 2016 results would have been like with this system.
I ran three
scenarios: normal scoring, new points method, and for fun, average points per arena attended. And he sent over a spreadsheet, which is awesome. And he says, in summary, guests still win in all scenarios. However, the point system makes for a much tighter race. And the best part was looking at the average points per arena attended. Flo jumps to second place from last, and Jason falls to last place from second.
Wow.
So these are some startling results. And of course, I'm not surprised here the guests would still win, because they show up, they're going to win. That if you win, you're still going to get most points. But it's definitely interesting to see how tighter it made it. So you naysayers of the new point system, it's going to make 2017 more interesting. So.
Yeah. Tighter race.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, do you have – oh. I thought he was pulling out his microphone. I was like, Brian has something to add to our scoring controversy.
No, unfortunately, the mic just dropped in front of my screen. So I was just,
okay, all right. Well, that happens.
Brian literally just dropped the mic. He's like, new scoring system. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah, how come I'm not in this scoring system?
Oh, yeah.
You
get a point just for showing up every week.
Woohoo!
Yeah. We'll see how that works out over the course of the year.
Well, we will get to the results of the new scoring system in the arena. But first, we want to thank one more sponsor. And we want to thank Hover for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And when you've got a great idea for your website, blog, or startup, and you need to give it a great domain name, with Hover, it's incredibly easy to set up your domain name with the most popular website builders. Hover has over 400 domain extensions, all the classics like .com and .net, but they got the newfangled domain extensions like niche extensions like .design and .tech. And they've got quirky extensions like .pizza and .ninja and .horse. I didn't even know these existed. This is amazing. Once you find your domain, use Hover Connect to set up your domain automatically with your website in just a few clicks. You can also use it to get a more on-brand or professional email address. Your domain works with whatever email programs you're already using. When all you want to do is buy a domain name or email address, you shouldn't have to opt out of page after page of add-ons that you don't want or need. That's why Hover only offers domains and email, so you can focus on finding a great domain name and get back to working on your great idea. Now, unlike most other domain providers, Hover includes free Whois privacy and all supported domains to keep your information confidential. And if you already have multiple domains scattered across other domain providers, you can save money by bringing them all over to Hover. With volume discounts, the more domains you have in your account, the more of a discount Hover will automatically apply to your account. With Hover, there's no more digging through the help articles to figure out how to get your domain working. If you need a hand, just give them a call, and Hover's awesome support team is there to help you. So listen, if you got that idea for a website, you need a domain name, or you just need email, you can find the perfect domain name for your idea. Go to hover.com and use the promo code AAA at checkout to save 10% off your first purchase. That's hover.com and use promo code AAA. And we thank Hover for their support of All About Android.
Thank you, Hover. Before we get to the arena, Brian, that's right. We have some breaking news.
Prancing Nougat in the meadow sings a song.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Sorry. I realize you probably didn't see that in there because I just added it. So of course you didn't.
This is some breaking news, all right.
This is some breaking news. Oh my goodness. It doesn't get more breaking than this news. The information reporting that Android One, which is Google's low cost kind of Android initiative rolled out to a lot of emerging markets to bring entry level, to lower the cost basically for devices so more people can get on the internet and use Google services, may be coming to the United States sometime by mid year, apparently. One of the partners likely to be LG, which I mean would makes sense. Google's worked with LG on so many things, including those watches and the famous Nexus 5. Price range would be somewhere around $200 to $300, which isn't necessarily Android One price range when you consider other markets, but definitely in the low to low mid category here in the U.S. And I haven't read through the whole report on the information to know why, or if it would, say, be launched with, you know, Google branding or, you know, or that sort of thing. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I wouldn't have expected that they would have brought Android One to the U.S. It seemed like it was all about emerging markets. Why would they bring it to the U.S.?
Because the Pixel costs $700.
And Google wants a lower cost phone of some sort. But this might not be Google's phone. This would be a partnership, right?
Right. Yeah. But if the phone is priced in the $200-$300 range, and they're possibly working with LG, like they're announcing a phone, announcing new watches with, like, seems like they're buddying up with LG a little more. Yeah. This is the alternative to saying, okay, this is great. The Pixel is great, but I can't afford it. So great, here's Android. So yes, so whereas Android One was for emerging markets to have a low-cost phone, this market is emerged. So bring a low-cost phone to people who can't afford the high-end phone. I think that just makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's just a tweaking of what Android One is, potentially. We'll see.
I'm intrigued. What do you think, Russell?
It is intriguing. I think, the other thing is it's more expensive than the Android One phones, obviously, in places like India. Like $200 is not a cheap phone. Like here in Australia, you can walk into a phone carrier. You can probably for about $60, you can walk out with an Android phone. But, you know, it's running like Android 4.4. It's full of weird pre-installed apps that are just, you know, rubbish. It's not the stock experience. Like, I think this is cool. Google's like, hey, if you don't want to spend $700 on a Nexus, here's a $200 phone. It runs, you know, stock Android as per like the Android One spec, and there's no weird sort of, you know, modifications going on. Could be a cool thing for the, you know, Android ecosystem to have, I guess, you know, cheaper phones but more stock phones without all the other sort of garbage on them.
Yeah, right. Focus on kind of the stock aspect, you know, promised updates for X amount of time, you know, the update support, security updates, all that kind of stuff, all that important stuff that we love oh so much on our devices from Google. So cool. Well, we'll follow this. It says before the middle of the year is what the report says. Expected to have a big ad campaign to kind of wrap around it. So there we go. I think it was Wade County who put that in the chat room, by the way. So thanks, Wade County. Thanks, Wade County, for other things, which we'll talk about in a second, because we're going to jump into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Last week was the monumental episode 300. bit.ly/AAAVote300 is what we had in store for you guys. See previous responses. Oh, which one walked away with it? GeoPickle.
Oh, yeah.
Ron's GeoPickle.
I get my first win, and not only that, is it episode 300 win, but also when I showed off GeoPickle, the installs on the Google Play Store were 10 to 50, and now it's up to 100 to 500, which shows that we helped move the needle on an app, which is what I wanted to see.
That's right.
Which is very exciting. So that said, with that win and the new scoring system, thanks to Wade County in the chat room, through 2 weeks in the arena, I am currently in the lead with 8 points. The guests are second with 5 points. Jason is in third with 4 points. And Flo is in last with 3 points. So there you go.
Anything can happen, folks.
Anything can happen. I love it.
Before the end of the year.
I only came in first once, and yet I'm in first place. Boom. There you go.
The power of sustained not so bad.
I will give the GeoPickle folks credit that they watched the episode. They were delighted to be kind of featured, and they tweeted at me thanking me for it, and they seem to be pretty engaged. And I'm hopeful for that app. I hope it takes off. So nice. Everyone check out GeoPickle. So, all right,
excellent. I have to finalize before I get started because I'm showing off all of these things today.
You're first.
I am first. Okay, so I will go ahead and show off mine here real quick. Let me pull it up here. Mine's called Powerline. Did I move over the lower thirds? maybe I did. Oh, I can't even remember. Today's been a haze. Power line. So you can kind of see around the edges of my screen here. You can see these little lines up there. Do you know what those lines represent?
Ooh,
they represent things.
Chi.
Because that's what power line is all about. The top line I've set to represent my battery. That little blue line represents how much battery I have left. On the right side represents my memory state. And, you know, I can increase the thickness if I like, make it a little bit fatter. That's pretty fat. Basically, you can select from a number of different things. Left on the left side is storage, things that you want to keep regular track of and have them occupy different spaces on your screen and in the form of like a little line. You could also lump them all up into the top so that they kind of overlay on your notification bar if you like. But these are all the indicators that you can select. A number of them, maybe there are certain things that are important for you to have constant access to. Maybe you just like getting nerdy and knowing the battery temperature at a glance.
Battery temperature. Wow.
At all times. So let's do battery temperature. We'll go ahead and put that on the top. Sure. And we'll make that thicker. Yeah, there it is. It's right underneath. You can see it. There's my battery temperature. I really think it's very important for me to keep track of this. Of course, if it's blocking too much out of my notifications, I can set down transparency and get it right there. And, you know, you can change the color and all that kind of stuff. It's a nerdy app. It's for people that really kind of want to play around a little bit and modify their phone to monitor certain things that might be important to you. That's the beauty of it. If you only wanted to monitor a couple of things that wouldn't be important to anybody else, hey, it's your phone. It's Android. This is what I love about the platform. So there you go. It's called Powerline. You can get a free version, which allows you to do, I think it's one or two indicators. If you pay 99 cents, it unlocks it, and you can do, I think, as many as you want. Obviously, at some point, the borders of your phone will get impacted. So, you know, choose wisely. If you don't have a bezel, this is a great way to give yourself a bezel. This is like a bezelizer.
That's a bezel app. That's excellent.
For bezel-less phones, give yourself your own bezel, you know, that actually may mean something.
The thing is, Jason, I thoroughly expect that to start happening if bezel phones take off. It's going to be like, miss having a black frame around your display? Yeah. This app adds that.
It'll be like bezel-less phones don't have margins anymore. So add a margin to your screen.
Yep. I'm going to bring out a case that has bezels on it. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to get on this. I'm going to phone some manufacturers after the show.
There we go. Perfect. It'll be there something it is, like that. Yeah.
Now we're a bezel. We've got our show's got a bezel again, so we can proceed. So
all about Android now with more bezels.
Oh,
all right, Russell, you are up next, sir. I have your app installed, and I will launch it. Go ahead and talk about it.
So I don't know if any of you as kids used to read sort of Find My Own Adventure books. You know, where you'd read a bit, and they'd be like, you know, go to page blah. So someone made a series of games that there was previously featured on a show was the original called Lifeline. There's a sequel now, Lifeline Silent Night. And the whole idea is you're basically messaging this guy called Taylor, and the messaging is kind of happening real time. So he'll say a whole bunch of things, and then he'll ask you a question, and then you'll be like, you know, go to the front of the ship, or no, go to the back. And then if going to the back means like an hour's walk, he'll actually disappear for an hour. So you'll get the sort of these three dots will come up, and it'll be like, you know, Taylor is walking or Taylor is sleeping. And I love that whole time concept of it. Like, it essentially is just a text-based story with some sort of music behind it. But the concept of, you know, this person messaging you and then having to walk somewhere for 3 hours, and then you can't continue the game for another 3 hours, you know, and 3 hours later you get a little notification that says, hey, you know, Taylor reached, you know, this place or whatever. So it's kind of interesting in that way. Like, I know it looks really boring, like, on the screen, but I really enjoyed it. Like, probably all up, you know, there might be a few hours worth of gameplay here. So if you're looking for something to spend your, you know, Google Play opinion rewards money on, or you're one of those people that does the whole scam where you convert your prepaid credit into Google Play, you know, money, then hey, this is a cool thing to play. I really enjoyed it.
Lifeline Silent Night. I do remember, I think one of the did you bring the other Lifeline game into the arena?
I think it was me.
Someone did at some point. So yeah, maybe it was yours a while ago. I love the idea that it's happening in real time and sends you notifications, almost like if you don't have anyone to chat with, Here you go. Here's a chat story.
There's that aspect to it as well. You probably do want to play the original before you play this one because it kind of builds on the story from the previous one as well. Yeah.
So the original one was in episode 258. So I'm going back in the Wayback Machine. Stand by. That was March of last year. And it looks like it was Jeff Namum from Touch Lab.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
There we go. There you go. So,
there it is. Yep. Cool.
There we go. Excellent. Lifeline. Silent and Night. Yes.
If you choose wrong, the guy can die. Spoiler alert. And you can't, unlike a book, you can't just go back. You'll be like, change your mind.
You uninstall it, you reinstall it. Nope, still dead. Sorry. You got your shot.
No, it's not permadeath.
I will admit, with those old Choose Your Own Adventure books, I often would go and read both options and then decide, as opposed to picking one and going. Yeah.
But that's more reading.
Yeah, exactly, right? Oh, God, I read the heck out of those books.
Yeah, so did I. Anyway. So did I. All right, you're up, Ron.
All right, so I'm up. So I got to thank All About Android listener Jack Hayes, who suggested this app. He suggested it a couple of weeks ago, and it's been on my list. I checked it out, and I was like, you know, this is a pretty good app. I'm going to bring it to the arena. So, Jack, this one's for you. This is called Recurrence, and it's been out a while. I'm actually surprised it hasn't been in the arena yet. But basically what it is it's a notification app that allows you to create tasks and have them trigger notifications, and you can control exactly how those notifications behave. So let's say there's something. So, for example, for one of my jobs, every Wednesday I need to do something at 9 a.m., right? Currently, I just have a calendar note at 9 a.m. to, you know, publish that document. But with Recurrence, what I can do is I can create an event in here and say, okay, and I want it to trigger every Ron's job thing. And so now I want to have it trigger if you go down a tap where it says now. There it goes. So I want to have it go at 9 a.m. So let's go 9 a.m. There you go. Jason's going to get a notification at 9 a.m. to do Ron's job thing. And then tap today. Get rid of the keyboard. We're good. We're done with the keyboard. You can minimize that. But so, yes, I have it happen on Wednesday, right? There it is. All right. And okay. And I can change what the icon is, right? So whatever it might be. So, you know, might want an alarm, might want a little Android dude. I can change the color of it. So to get my attention, let it be, you know, red. Let's go red instead. Okay, we'll go green. That's fine. Or red. Pink.
Pink. Yeah, pink. Yeah. Pink.
And then I can specify whether it repeats or not. And I want it to repeat every week. So every Wednesday. Not every hour, every week. So every Wednesday at 9 a.m. I will get hit with it. I'll get hit with this notification. I can say to do it forever or not. And then what's great is that you can actually you hit the save button to save it. And then now when that triggers, you will get a notification, Jason, at 9 a.m. in the morning that says, you know, when to do it. If you want to set it for now, we could do that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Right. But so you can set up repeat reminders that happen on specific days, times of the week. You can specify how many times you want the notification to appear. When it does come up a notification, you can say to snooze it, right? So basically it almost becomes as a way to manage tasks but through the notification pane, which is great because I know for me that particular thing I need to do for my job, I get my little calendar alert at 9 a.m. and sometimes I dismiss it and I forget to go do it, right? So this is why it comes in pretty handy. So it's pretty simple but nice. It's leveraging, you know, the material design world of Android, and it really just, you know, kind of helps you be a little smarter about your settings. Now, if you go into the settings, you can specify whether you want the notification to vibrate or trigger a sound or trigger the LED. You can also set it to be persistent, which will prevent the notification from being swiped away, which is great. You can also add, which I love, a marked as done action to the notification. So when I do it, I can say, yes, it's been done, right? I can choose whether I want to add snooze or not, as well as what they call a nagging reminder, which will continuously notify you of the notification until you dismiss it. And you can actually set the nagging interval.
Oh, it's time for me to – sorry, Ron. You got to stop talking. It's time for me to do Ron's job thing.
So now here you can either snooze it and it will snooze for a time period, or you can mark it as done. So let's say we did it. So
have I done Ron's job thing?
Yes, I did it. I did it. So we're good.
All right.
So there it is. Nice. I love the persistent aspect of it. I love the nagging because you swipe it away doesn't mean you actually did it. So I like that it's aggressive to get in your face. And it's a cool little task notification tool. So it's called Recurrence. It's free in the Google Play Store, and it is truly a great app. So check it out.
Nice. Yes. Recurrence is free. Check it out and never forget anything ever again in the history of your life ever.
And that's really the key to it, right? Just not forgetting the things you need to do.
Like your job thing.
Like your job thing.
It's very important.
Now it's time for you to vote. Don't forget to vote. I noticed that our voting numbers were down this last week, and it was episode 300. Come on, you guys. Episode 300. Geez. You're supposed to bring it on 300. Luckily, you can do that on 301. We won't judge. bit.ly/AAAvote301. bit.ly/AAAvote301 for episode 301. Is your favorite app this week Powerline? Is it Lifeline, Silent Night? Or is it Recurrence, which doesn't have line in the name?
I didn't get the memo. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Woo-hoo, I won. That's just
Brian, did you vote for that?
Yeah, I already voted.
Brian voted for Lifeline, Silent Night. Fantastic show. Really appreciate you coming back, Russell. It's been far too long. Got to have you back soon, sooner than this especially. Thanks for coming on tonight, or this afternoon.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. We love getting you on the show. Tell us a little bit about the work you're doing. Obviously, everybody that watches this show is familiar with Pocket Cast. They probably all use it, I'm guessing. What about Material? Tell us a little bit about Material.
So Material Podcast is on Relay FM. It's a Google show just like this one, but it's, I guess, less news-based, more discussion-based. So you've got myself, you've got Andy Nutko, who I think a lot of Twit listeners will be familiar with, and you've got the amazing Yasmin Evian, who's, you know, she's our massive Google fan on the show. I just love her enthusiasm for all things Google. Yeah. And I believe she's so crazy about the Google that she's listening right now. That's why I've given her an extra plug. But yes, we have cool show titles as well, like Nutty Bananas. And I write all the little descriptions here, which I don't know. I have fun every week. So, yeah. You know, if you're into Google and you're not getting enough Google out of AA, you're like, oh, I've got to the end of the show and I want more Google, go check out Material. See if you like it.
Yeah, because Material kind of stretches out beyond just Android also. It's kind of more, well, it's Android, of course, but it's also kind of Google outside of Android.
Yeah, like the rest of Google, you know, yeah. Self-driving cars and, yeah. You know, technology and CEOs and people leaving and people coming and going, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And occasionally we get some guests from Google on as well. Like, we haven't had one for a while, but if you're into, you know, VR, we've got the two developers behind, you know, Google Daydream, we interviewed them. We did one with Matthias Duarte, if you go back, you know, far nice. Enough, the head of Google Design. So there's a few episodes to go back and find, you know, if you want to hear Google people on the show as well.
Would it have been too obvious to ask him about his shirts?
We did have that in the original thing, and I'm like, no, everyone will ask him
about everybody the shirts. Everybody asks him about the shirts. I think that's too obvious, yeah. Good. I'm happy you held. You were restrained.
It was very hard. I got to tell you. Like, don't ask about the shirts. Don't ask about the shirts.
The one and only time I ever met Matthias was at Google I/O, and when I started talking to him, I realized two words in that all I really had to say to him was how awesome I thought he and Android were and his work for Android, and he pretty much was just like, "Thanks," and I could pretty much read his mind, which was like, "Seriously." You're at a press event. This is what you say to me?
Okay. There you go. Thanks, Jason. I passed him in the street once, actually, going back to my hotel. Like, he was going somewhere else. I was going to my hotel. This was at Google I/O time. I didn't know what to say. I'm like, hey, Matthias, great job today on stage. And I just ran away because I'm like, I sound like an idiot.
Exactly. I felt your eyes rolling. Oh. Awesome. Thanks again, Russell. Always a pleasure. And we will we'll get you back real soon, okay?
Oh, awesome. Thanks again, Jason.
Appreciate it. Ron, what about you?
Yes, I love Pocket Casts. I just want to make sure everyone knows that. and I love Pocket Casts.
Check because the bio.
As a proud podcaster, I love seeing my shows pop up there and all that fun stuff. And so check out my other shows. In addition to All About Android, every Sunday comes a new episode of iFanboy over at iFanboy.com, where we're talking about the world of comic books on a weekly basis. And listen, we've been doing this podcast for 11 years, and we're getting some of our highest numbers ever. So any of you that are also All About Android and iFanboy listeners, I want to thank you for continuing to listen and help us. We don't know where the surge is coming from, but I'm not questioning it. So right on, folks.
Don't question it.
But additionally, I launched a new podcast that we're about 9 episodes in. Actually, the 9th episode comes out tomorrow. It's called Damn Fine Podcast over at damnfinepodcast.com, where me and Tom Merritt are revisiting Twin Peaks and talking about the every episode leading up to season 3 this May. Last week, we had Sarah Lane on the show talking about the season 1 finale. Tomorrow's new episode kicks off season 2. It's just me and Tom again with an extra long bonus episode because the season premiere of season 2 was a 2-hour episode, so we had a lot to talk about. So go to damnfinepodcast.com, check that out. Thank you everybody for listening, and as always, follow me at RonXO, and I'm on that on Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff, where you can follow my obsession with Christmas trees that are thrown out after the holidays.
So obsessed.
It's an epidemic, let me tell you. And it's a whole different. Last year, I was in San Francisco. New York City handles Christmas trees much different than San Francisco, and it's been a delight to see. So check that out on Instagram.
Brian, what about you?
Well, when I'm not TDing this show, I'm doing TNT 4 out of 5 days a week with you.
That's right.
It's a lot of fun. Uh-huh. Now, kind of, that was a recent switch over.
Yeah, it was like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. But otherwise, I host a show with Padre every Thursday and Monday. We release know-how episodes, so check that out if you can. And if you want to see what my Christmas tree disposal looks like this year, you'll want to follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo. Because now that you reminded me, Ron, I just dragged my Christmas tree out this morning, and I'll show you the remnants of it.
Ooh, I can't wait to see that.
Oh, man, that's riveting. You got to see it.
Now you're speaking my language, Brian. I like it.
Brian, I couldn't help but notice you were very well lit right now.
You know, I finally figured out the lighting system in here now. So, yeah, and I have a camera today. So
that helps. It's all that new. Helps too.
Yeah. I think I can – hold on. I can go back to the darkness.
Oh, excellent. All right, good. Whew, man, feels like home. you can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Before we start the music, though, for the show, this is really important, you guys. This is the moment you've all been waiting for. Okay, I've talked a little bit in the past weeks about Twit Store. It's a thing. We've got things on there that you can buy. Shirts, sweatshirts, Twit logos and everything. But if you scroll down to the bottom of this, what do you see now?
No.
That's right. Whoa. You see all about Android designs.
Very cool.
So this is just the start. If you want a green shirt with a white All About Android logo, and it has the Android guy with the Twit logo integrated into it. It's a match made in heaven, as far as I'm concerned. They were like made for each other, as you can see. Or you can get the white shirt with the green logo stuff. Whatever. Go to twit.tv/store. Buy some of these designs, because I know we've had many requests for this over the years, especially since I got this thing on my laptop with a similar design. A lot of people be like, how can I get that? Well, now you can get it. So go get it. There you go. twit.tv/store. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us email or video mail like we got today. Love that. AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Subreddit is twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Casts, wherever podcasts are found. And you can catch us live every Tuesday around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. Next week, Flo will return. Looking forward to that. Everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.